God's sight.
Amen.
We're back in 1 Peter. We're going to go through 1 Peter. I don't know how long it's going to take, but if verses 3 and 4 are any indication, we may be here a little while. So much found in these scriptures. 1 Peter, amen, let's stand. Chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, how about that? 3 through 5. Pay attention as I read this, and especially you Sunday school teachers and students of the Word of God. Verse number 3 is just packed with doctrine. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy have begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Amen. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for your abundant mercy. Thank you for calling us out of darkness into your marvelous life and giving us the faith to cry out to you. Thank you for giving us a lively hope. Thank you for the power of the resurrection. Thank you for the resurrection power living in us, giving us the hope, Father God, for that eternal inheritance that's not corrupt like this world, that's going to fade away, that you've given us reserved seating. Nobody will be sitting in our seats when we get there. But Father God, I just want to continue to preach to the people of God that they will leave here without a doubt with a reserved ticket in their hand, knowing that they have a place kept by the power of God. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. By reservation only. By reservation only. Cindy and I went to the Station Square restaurant in Liberty, and we hadn't been there before. I just thought it was just a regular type restaurant, and it's always crowded, so we said, let's go in and see what everybody's doing. And we got to the door, and it was around 5 o'clock, and the lady asked us, did we have a reservation? Well, we didn't, but they wasn't going to turn our money away. And we went in, and they had a seat for us, and they told us the next time, you need to have a reservation. And soon we found out why, and the restaurant was soon filled. I mean, filled. And the food was really good on that day, and we had a good time together. But that's not the type of reservation that we want to look at when we're going to heaven, because you will be turned away. You will be turned away. I remember when I was younger, and I would go to the Cavalier games, and you know, people didn't come to the basketball games to the right around the second quarter. So we go down there. If the usher didn't know who was the seat, who had the reserved seat, we would sit in those good seats. We get a quarter in, the next thing we know, we looking because we know we're in the wrong seats, and we'd look at everybody would come down, and usually somebody would come and they would tell us, hey, these seats, they want to see our tickets. And we didn't argue nothing. We just went up to the nosebleed seats, you know, where you could barely see the ball, you know. That's embarrassing. I don't want anyone in here to be embarrassed, so I'm going to continue preaching the word. I want you to get to heaven. I want you to be sit in your reserved seats. And this is what Peter is talking about. We talked about last week the elect according to the foreknowledge of God, and we talked about the purpose of election. And the purpose of election is an encouragement to those that are struggling on this side. And these persecuted Christians had taken a stand, and they weren't gonna worship Caesar. They weren't gonna worship Nero. They weren't gonna worship the pagan temples. And again, when they pulled out the Christians, the money went down, the revenue went down, and the Christians were accused of basically corrupting the economy. We've seen that with Paul in Acts when he cast a demon out of the girl. If you read that in the King James, it was a male demon that had possessed a little female child. And when Paul cast it out, he took away their opportunity to make money, and they cast him in jail. The Christians were standing on their faith, and they were being persecuted. Same thing goes today. Okay, a lot of us are being persecuted because we just don't stand for nothing. We just go with everything, and we're not feeling it. And I say that all the time. Many of the afflictions of the righteous. Stand for something and watch it come. It came and it was coming. And I don't know the condition of the people that were in Northern Asia at this time. I don't know their condition. I don't know if they were pouting or they were sitting around worrying or they were scared. I don't believe that was the case. I just believe that Peter was giving them a word of encouragement. He was giving them a word of encouragement. And we see today, in today's lesson, we see he starts off verse number 3 as, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." That's interesting. That's an interesting way to really open up that. And what he's saying is that we ought to, as believers, and he's talking to the people, the persecuted people, and he's talking to us too. We ought to bless God. He's worthy of all our praise based on what he has done for us. Amen. Peter's looking for a response here. He's looking for a response from the people. He's saying, "Blessed be God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Why is he saying that? Oh, there's a lot of reasons why he may be saying it. John 3:16 has to come through your mind. It has to come to your mind. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." So what he's saying is, because God has given us his Son, and I say given him to die for your sins and to give you that eternal life, you ought to praise him no matter what your condition, no matter what situation you find yourself in. He's worthy of your praise. And he said, listen, none of us are going through what these believers went through. None of us in here, I don't care, Republican or Democrat. No president is cutting the heads off Christians yet. No president is using Christians as candles at their parties, lighting them up yet. Now he's looking for a response. Maybe he didn't get it. Sometimes, you know, as you correcting your children or your loved ones and you don't get the response that you think you ought to get. So what you do is you remind them. So you give them a reminder of where they could be. That they still could be lost. They still could be homeless. They still could be strung out on drugs or alcohol. They still could be living in whoredom. But God. Here's what Peter's saying. But God. Many of us have been through some things. And we can say, but God. And this is the response Peter is looking for. And maybe he didn't get it. Maybe he did. I wasn't there. But I'm saying from my own experience, I need to be reminded sometime where I was at. Peter's going to remind them. He's going to first remind them of God's abundant mercy. Mercy is God not giving us what we deserve. Some of us in here, if it was up to us, we don't deserve any mercy. God ought to just snatch us up out of our seats and cast us into the pit of hell. But God, who is rich in mercy. Here's David in Psalms 86. Here's David, a man who many believe committed maybe the unpardonable sin. But God. David was called a man after God's heart, mainly because he understood the mercy of God. Look what David said. Bow down thine ear, O Lord. Hear me. For I am poor and needy. See, some of us sitting here today, we so haughty, we so proud, don't have nothing. But we don't want to be in church, we don't want to worship God, we don't want to praise the Lord, but we want Him to hear us. David was a man, a righteous man. God anointed David. And look at David said, preserve my soul. For I am holy, O thou my God, save thy servant that trusted in thee. David had to go through something to get here. See, some of y'all ain't here yet. David had to go through something to get here. He said, Be merciful unto me. Don't give me what I deserve. O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. Some of us have a hard time praying over our food. Rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For thou art Lord, art good and ready to forgive. And good to know that we serve a God that is ready to forgive. Because right now, everyone in here needs to be forgiven of something. Isn't it so good to read the scriptures and see how rich they are, ready to forgive? That means he's standing there with his arms wide open, ready to forgive. I don't care what you've done. He's ready to forgive. Listen, not only is he ready, and you may say, well, he ain't ready to forgive me because I done done some things. I done done some things that can't nobody forgive me. No. You need to be introduced to the God of the Word of God. Now, not only is he ready to forgive, he is plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Oh, listen. Don't listen to them guys and tell you that there's no way you could be saved because you weren't chosen. Listen. That just stinks. Jonah knew something about the mercy of God. Jonah had a righteous indignation. Jonah would have been considered today a racist. He hated the Ninevites. He hated them folks because they hated the God of Israel. I'm not saying he was wrong for hating them because I had the same problem. I would be Jonah. Because I hate folks that hate God. I got a problem with folks that like to mock and ridicule God. I really do. Amen. I really do. We all realizing some of the benefits of God. God's worth every good and perfect gift come from the Lord. Everything good come from the Lord. Jeremy and LeVon took Ray to the car show yesterday. Had a good time. Ray should have got out of the car and said, thank you, Lord, for me having a good time. Even got a hat. Because every time you have a good time, you ought to thank God. Every time you eat a good hamburger or a good sloppy Joe or a good order of fries from McDonald's, you ought to say, thank you, God, for giving me the taste buds to taste the goodness of these French fries. We just ought to be thankful. Thank you, Lord, for when I asked Deacon Oliver to stand up, he struggled, but he ought to sit down and say, thank you for giving me that much strength to stand and pray for you one more time. One more time. Jonah knew the mercy of God. He looked at them Ninevites. God said, Jonah, go to Nineveh. Pay attention, Cindy, this is for me and you. Go to Nineveh and preach the gospel to them folks. And Jonah said, nah, I hate them Ninevites. I ain't going. I'm going to Tarshish. And took off, going the other way. Why did Jonah do that? I'll read Jonah chapter 4, verse 2. I'm not going to go through all that. We all know the story of Jonah and the belly of the whale, because you're going to do what God had called you to do. You can call yourself a prophet. But Jonah was angry with the Lord because of his mercy. Watch this. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? He was in his country. He figured the gospel was just for his country. Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish. Why, Jonah? For I knew I had a personal relationship with you. I knew you. I knew you intimately. I knew what kind of God you were. I knew that thou art a gracious God. Folks, listen to me. We serve a gracious God. Jonah said, you are a gracious God and merciful and slow to anger and of great kindness and repentest thee of the evil. Jonah went to Nineveh, and 120,000 folks were saved. Amen. But he understood the mercy of God. Let's keep moving. I have to keep moving, because I could preach each one of these subjects individually, but I believe they have to be preached collectively, because they just speak to a message that God is trying to get to these people. He's not only saying they are abundant mercy. Look what he says. He said that thou hast begotten us. Let's stop right there. That word begotten means he saved us. He gave us a new start. Somebody in here need a new start. Somebody in here need a new start. Or I wouldn't be preaching it. It wouldn't even come up. Because I don't make up this stuff. I don't eat pizzas on Saturday night and wake up and make up stuff. God gave me this a week and a half ago. Somebody need a new start. Amen. Somebody need a fresh start. And this is what it means that he begotten us. Ephesians says that and you have he quickened, 2 and 1, who were dead in trespasses and sin. This is where we was at. This is where he begot us from. Where in time past he walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the prince that now worketh in the children of disobedience. You're a child here, and you can be an adult here, and don't want to hear the word, is because the devil. I believe in a real devil. The devil don't like sitting in churches that only sing 3 songs and pray and preach. There's some other churches you'd be comfortable at. And the devil sit up in there and he's not offended. He said, where in time past you walk according to the course of the world. What course are you on? That's a question you have to ask. What course am I on if I die today? Oh, I'll preach you on that death stuff again. I'm on it every week. I'm on it every week. Because, you know, John Wesley would say like, he said like, every person I met, young and old, first thing I listen for is, do they know the Lord? If this person that I'm talking to in the line at Walmart, or at the BP station, and I strike up a conversation with them, you ought to know, Oh, they make it clear today. Folks make it clear today they're on their way to hell.
Amen.
See, out of the abundance of the heart,
amen,
the mark now speak. You know, folks cussing at you, cuss at me all the time. Inmates and come in my office and cussing. And they say, oh, I'm apologizing. You don't got to apologize to me because I don't have a hell to put you in.
Amen.
I say, you got a heart problem. What you mean I got a heart problem? I'm healthy, and then we don't allow cigarettes in the state penitentiary no more. No, you got a heart problem. Because your mouth reveals the condition of your heart. You talk to a doctor, you go to the doctor's office, and they ask you, open your mouth. Then they look down in there. I don't know what it all do. We got some nurses in here and some medical directors. Ask one of them what it means when the doctors say, oh, stick out your tongue. See all kind of stuff. You got a heart problem. I'm a doctor of the Bible. Tell you what the Bible say. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if you got a foul mouth, you got a foul heart. You need a heart transplant.
Amen.
He begotten us when we was lost. He begot us when we was lost. We was dead in our sins. But there's something else when I look at that word begotten us. Because before we get to this next point of lively hope, I really believe people of God really miss it. They really miss it. Really miss what being born again means. Because when you're born again, you're empowered. And this is, I believe, the message that Peter was trying to get to these strangers, to these pilgrims. He was trying to get a message to them that when you come to the Lord, when you receive the Holy Spirit, you receive power. I believe Acts 1:1-8 says that. And so I don't know, he may be looking out there and saying, I see some saved folks that claim they saved but don't have no power. The littlest thing rocked their world. Get upset, quick temper, quick trigger, cussing and swearing over any little situation. That is not biblical salvation. When you receive the power of God, when you receive the Holy Spirit, you got power. And the first thing it's going to give you power over is your mouth. It's going to give you power. Listen, Romans 8:11, I like this. He said, but if the Spirit that raised him from the dead dwell in you, he that raised Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body by his Spirit that dwell in you. Now that scripture came to my mind. I was talking to a man this week, and he come into my office, and he was an older gentleman. And I run a crazy block. All the young boys in the block, this gentleman come in, he popped 60. Go to church every service. He had church always talking about the things of God. And I know him. So I'm like, what are you doing in this unit? Because this is for the crazies. Well, he got on my nerves. I'm just a human like anybody else. I said, not if you have the Spirit of God working in you. I said, if you claim that you have the Spirit of God flowing through you, you're not just a human. You have the supernatural ability to do some things that the godless can't. You have no excuse. None of us in here that know the Lord should say, well, I'm just human. You're not. Not if you got God's Spirit working in you. Not if the power of God that raised Jesus from the dead is working and living in you. You can do some things that the average person can't do. I don't know. I hope that makes sense. I hope it makes sense.
Amen.
Listen. Talk about this supernatural power and ability that it gives you. I just got a few scriptures here. I like Romans 12:2. You have the power of God in you. Paul says this, then be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You're able to not only understand the will of God, but to live it out.
Yes.
Luke 12 and 4 says that this, if you had a power of God in you, ought not be a chicken. Mm-hmm. We got too many chicken Christians.
Amen.
He says this, and I say unto you, my friend, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. That's all they can do is get you to heaven faster.
Amen.
How about 1 John 5:4? I got a few here. I'm just going to read this one. This one's real good. It's to the believer. This is to the believer. If you come to church, you ought to hear messages directed at saints. We ought not spend all our time trying to preach to lost souls, because lost souls ain't going to come to church.
Amen.
We ought to be empowering those that are here.
Yes.
The message ought to be a message of encouragement. 1 John 5:4. For whatsoever is born of God. How about that? Whatsoever is born of God. Whosoever is born again.
Yes.
Overcometh the world. Overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. If you have the power of God working in you, you've been born again, you ought to be overcomers. You ought not be living like the world, acting like the world, dressing like the world, talking like the world.
Amen.
You ought to be an overcomer. Somebody said, I need some strength. I need some strength. Keep moving, Pastor. How about this? Not only is abundant mercy, then he's given us the ability to be born again. He's given us a new birth. Then he gives us this other one. He hears Peter trying to encourage the troops. He says, not only that, he said he's begotten us not just to live anyway, but he has begotten us unto a lively hope. Seen that before. A lively hope.
Yeah.
What's a lively hope, Pastor? It's a hope that lives. It's a hope that is alive, not dead and argumentative and complaining and trivial. It's a lively hope. It's a hope that is based on the fact that God died for our sins, and no matter how bad it gets down here, no matter what I'm going through down here,
yeah,
I have a place reserved for me in heaven. It gets better than this. One writer wrote it like this. He said, a lively hope is a hope that makes us lively. That's good. It's a hope that makes us lively. It's a hope that makes us joyful. It's a hope that makes us comfortable in our lives, and a hope that puts life in us. How about that? See, when you hear the word of God, the person who loves the Lord and is born again, listen, he wants to hear the word of God preached into his soul. And he wouldn't even want to go to a church where the word of God isn't being preached. James says it like this, and we studied this on Wednesday night. James says in James 1:18, and this is one verse that really hit me real hard when I was first seeing it. I think we stayed on it for about a month. James 1:18, and it says this: of his own will begot he us with the word of truth. And what James is saying, you got two births. The first birth, you born with a deformed spirit, a spirit that worships evil and is cantankerous and all that. But this second one, listen, you got to get the second one right. The second birth is going to give you a desire for the things of God. The second birth is going to give you a desire for the word of truth. You ain't going to be able to go weeks and weeks without church, prayer, and Bible study. You're going to open up the scriptures. You're going to want to pray. He said, of his own will, he begot us with the word of truth. What he's saying is, if he begot you with the word of truth, then that word of truth is what's going to sustain you. That he should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Let me say that again. Sometimes we just blow past things. That we, after we're born of the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creation.
The first fruits are the very best. Those were what they offered up when the first fruits were the very best that farmer had to offer. What James is saying is because we've been begotten by the word of truth, we ought to be the very best. We ought not settle for mediocrity. Oh, too many Christians do. Our young people ought to be the very best. And whatever endeavor they undertake, as you're a child of God, you ought to be the very best. We ought to be the very best on our jobs. We ought to be the very best in our communities. We ought to be the very best husbands. We ought to be the very best wives. We ought to be the very best. Because we are identifying ourselves as being children of God. We ought to be the very best. If we just un. And just because you're the very best don't mean your children are going to be the very best. Let me clarify that. Because you can be the very best and raise a hellion. Because the reservation is for one. See, the reservation is for one. See, I don't care how godly your husband is or how godly your grandmother you is. All your grandchildren can die and go to hell. I hope y'all get this. How about this? You have the power of God working in you. Paul did. Paul wrote this in Philippians. Y'all know it. 4:13. Paul had this power working in him. He didn't care or fear anything. Paul said this, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Nothing feared him. He died for what he believed. Talk about this lively hope. This lively hope is based on a hope for that eternal inheritance. It's a lively hope. It's a lively hope. Not only is it a lively hope, it's a blessed hope. Amen. Paul says this in Titus. I like this. He said, looking for that blessed hope in the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. How about that? Do you have a blessed hope? Does that hope that you give you, that lively hope that you should have, because Peter said you should have it, does it give you the want, the desire to see the Lord? Amen. It's a hope of glory. Here's Paul here in Colossians. Paul, people think Paul was mean. Paul knew the word. Look what Paul says. He calls it the hope of glory. He said, to whom God would make known that is what is the riches of his glory. Of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you. The hope of glory. Do you have the hope of glory in you? The one day you're going to be glorified. The one day that you die, no matter what's happening here in Asia, no matter how much they persecute you, one day you're going to be glorified. One day you're going to be glorified. No matter what the world is doing to our bodies. Our knees hurt, our arms hurt, our elbows hurt, and we got cancer, and we got diabetes, we got high blood pressure. But do you have the hope of glory flowing through you? Because we're coming out of this flesh. We're coming out of it. And in all our aches and pains, only remind us that we are. And we ought to have the hope of glory. We ought not fear death. And this is what Paul Peter is saying to these strangers. Stop worrying about dying because it only gets better. It only gets better. It only gets better. See, some of us listen to Reverend Ike. And Reverend Ike used to say, I don't want no pie in the sky. I want mine here and now. See? Some of y'all don't believe your old team went to the same school of thought. Live your best life now. Listen, you can't. Throw the books away. Throw the books away. Amen. Don't give them to nobody.
Amen.
Okay, don't give it to nobody. throw it away because it's false.
Amen.
And if you live in your best life now, you only got hell to look forward to.
Amen.
Throw it away. Don't give it to me. Somebody gave me one, it went in the trash. This is, I don't know. Just keep moving, Pastor. We ain't even got out of verse 3. There's a lot in this verse.
Amen.
I ain't going to look at my watch. Somebody got on me. Don't look at your watch. Keep preaching. Listen. Let me start from the beginning. And we're going to get to this resurrection of Jesus Christ for the dead. Are with me? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. All blessings go to Jesus. All blessings go to God. None of them come to your pastor. If somebody asks you about your salvation, they ask you if you saved, don't start talking about your church. Don't start talking about your pastor. Don't start talking about you was baptized. Start talking about God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy have begotten us again unto a lively hope, a blessed hope, the hope of the gospel, the hope of glory. How? Peter's again looking for a response from these people. You need to know this, he's saying. Stop sitting here twiddling your thumbs and chewing on your fingers. Know this. How's all that done? By the resurrection of Jesus Christ. From the dead. From the dead. Just in case there's some Gnostics running around saying that Jesus Christ didn't die on the cross. That was a popular teaching in that day. Oh, it was just an apparition. It was just a ghost. He really didn't die on the cross. Or he raised himself up and the apostles stole him. No. Peter was there. He was an eyewitness. And he said, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Wasn't no grave robbers. Grave robbers wouldn't have took the body. They would have took the clothes. That's what grave robbers do. They didn't take the body. They take the clothes. And the clothes were so neat. Sitting there with a napkin and everything was so neat. Peter had to reassure that Jesus Christ truly rose from the dead. And because He rose from the grave,
you also
will rise on that day. This is what Peter is wrapping up here. He's wrapping it up. He's talking about the resurrection. The resurrection is proof of our resurrection. The resurrection is a confirmation that we also will rise from the dead. We're going to celebrate it in a couple of weeks. Some of y'all call it Easter. Some churches that have Easter egg hunts in the back, and they'll have Easter bunny sitting up in the sanctuary, up in the pew. There'll be pastors, y'all think this is funny, but there'll be pastors somewhere in this country dressed like the Easter bunny. I can find that on the internet, and I guarantee there's going to be a preacher preaching in an Easter bunny outfit. Because we got to make everybody happy. Here come Peter Cottontail. Hopping down the bunny trail. I was at a church, they asked me, they said, we're going to have Easter, they come, what you think? Okay. They had one in Wick Park. Take your kids over there. That's not nice. Listen. How's all this done? By the resurrection. What's all this mean? Look at verse 4. To an inheritance. Incorruptible. Stop right there. See, everything you see is corrupt. Everything is corrupt. Everything is corrupt. We are not among the living, we're among the dying. Everything is deteriorating. This church is deteriorating. This pew is deteriorating. Your clothes and your fillings in your mouth, all you got to do is eat something hard and crunchy. You will realize that filling is not as strong as it used to be. But our inheritance is incorruptible. I think about my brother had a 1971 Cadillac and he had it in storage. And then he had it in storage for like 10 years. And then he went to look at it and the mice had ate it away. The seats, the wires, the tires, everything was just corrupted. Interesting. Look what else Peter says. Not only is our inheritance incorruptible, it's undefiled. It's undefiled. Now that word ought to strike a chord with all married folks in here. Because it's the highest purity that you can have. And that's eternity. Our inheritance in heaven is undefiled. The writer of Hebrews in Hebrews 13:4 compares the inheritance to the marriage bed. I thought this was fascinating. And some of those are you're just a man. Like, I'm not just a man. I got some supernatural stuff running through me. I'm a priestess. I'm a preacher for me. I'm not preaching at y'all. I'm preaching to you guys and to me too. So I hear it. The marriage bed is honorable in all. You gotta teach and preach to married men and women. A lot of preachers don't preach on marriage and talk about the purity of marriage. They feel like, well, you know, I don't want to offend nobody. I do. I'm going to offend myself. I'm going to hold myself to a higher standard because I preach this.
Amen.
Marriage is honorable in all. In the bed, undefiled. It means the bed is purity. So, if I come home and somebody's in my bed, I'm not talking about the three bears. I'm going to have a real problem. And I probably, you know, they call it involuntary. That's what they call it. You don't do a whole lot of time for involuntary manslaughter. Let me stop. I keep forgetting I'm on the World Wide Web. The marriage is honorable in all, in the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. We live in a world today where it's accepted. You know, it's not called adultery anymore. We didn't say, well, they had an affair. No, they were an adulterer. And in the Old Testament, they were worthy of death. Stone them. But we're so tolerant today. And the church is so tolerant, and the preacher don't want to preach on adultery because he got a church full of adulterers and they got fat wallets, so I'm not going to preach on adulterers. Most of them got some sitting in their pulpits with them. Now, men may tolerate it. This is what the writer's saying. But God will judge. So you may get away with it on this side. But God's going to judge you. God's going to judge you. Timothy said some men's sins are open before all, and other men's sins follow them into the grave. But God is rich in mercy, and his arms are stretched out, and he'll forgive. And see, you need to get that straight if you got an issue like that. For the World Wide Web, that's not for anybody in here. An inheritance, the fourfold blessing, the inheritance incorruptible, inheritance undefiled, and inheritance that will not fade away, that will not lose its value or its sweetness or its beauty like my brother's car. See, I talked to a mechanic the other day, not too long ago, about rust. He said, we don't like fool with rust. Rust comes back. It may look pretty for a minute, but rust comes back. See, we got an inheritance that will not fade away. I like this one. An inheritance reserved in heaven for you. This is individual. Okay. My father passed away. I mean, my father was tight. I told y'all. Tighter than all the other kids. Yeah. I don't care. And my father, we visited him at the hospital. He waits till everybody's gone. He said, come here, boy. So I got an account for you. And just your name on it. He told me what bank it was at. I said, okay. So after everything was settled down, I called the bank. And they said, hey, you got an account here, just your name on it.
alright. See, God got an account.
Yeah.
With just your name on it. But I have to bring some identification to the bank. I had to bring death certificate to the bank and some identification. See, some of y'all think y'all have an account. Some of y'all think y'all got a reserved seat. And then they're going to ask you for your ticket. They're going to ask you for your ticket. Your identification. And the death certificate that you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins and rose from the grave. I don't know. One more point. Hope y'all get this. We have an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, faded not away, reserved in heaven for you. That's singular. Think about this. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last day. It looks like a long run-on sentence. But that word kept. God not only keeps our inheritance, but He keeps you too. So what's the use of God keeping you an inheritance if you're not being kept? And you know you can't keep yourself. So God is not only keeping you, He's keeping your inheritance for you. So these folks run around where you can lose your salvation. Not if you're being kept by the power of God. He's trying to encourage these believers that may be going through, that may be struggling with some of the difficulties that they're facing now. Just like some of you. But He's saying you are being kept, Sylvia, by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last day. You have a part to play. You have a part to play. You have a part to play because if you are truly saved by the Word of God, you will be kept by the Word of God. And if you are kept by the Word of God, you go back to verse number 2, through sanctification of the Spirit and through obedience and the sprinkling of the blood. That's how you are kept. That's how you know you're saved, because you will know that you are sanctified of the Spirit and that you're obedient of the Word of God. And if the Word of God says you're doing something wrong, guess what you're going to do? You're going to sit here and say, Lord, give me the strength to overcome that disease, overcome that addiction, overcome that situation, overcome that relationship, whatever it takes. Because I want to be right with you. That's what Peter is saying. That's what Peter is saying. That you are kept and your blessing is kept by the power of the Lord. You know what? It's ready. It's ready to be revealed in the last times. Let me say this. For some of you who believe we may not be in the last times. We are in the last times. We are in the last times. If you don't think we're in the last times, you are a bigger fool than ever was born. Here's Peter. Here's Paul. Paul and Peter, just they must have got together. Here's Paul talking about the last times in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Paul saying this about the last times, and I'm going to close. He said, this know also. Now this is to let you know you're in the last times. You can write all this off. But then just go to a restaurant after work and you'll see it all. This know also that in the last days, 2 Timothy chapter 3, perilous times shall come. Perilous, evil. For men and women, that's generic. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Self-love. Don't care about nobody else. It's all about me. We live in the me generation. Covetous. Just want stuff. I like they took Ray to the car show. I like that. Because one thing, you like all them cars.
Covetousness means you like all them cars, you want one.
Yeah.
But you're not willing to work for it. You may want to sell some dope and hustle and scam to get it. That's covetousness.
Amen.
You're not willing to do your part, but you want it. And that's what generation we have today. Everybody want a handout.
Yeah.
Nobody willing to work. These are signs of the last times. Boasters. I can relate to this one. All you got to do is turn on a basketball game. I remember Larry Bird and Magic Johnson and them guys, when they scored a basket, they just went down the other end of the court. When Jim Brown scored a touchdown, he just got up and handed the ball to the official. They weren't doing the funky chicken and all that. Covetous, boasters, proud. We know the word proud. That's why we're proud. I'm so proud. We're just proud of everybody. Listen to that. Be careful when you use that word. We ought to substitute as I thank God. Blasphemers. You know the biggest blasphemer there is? That's the person who says they're a Christian and live like a fool. That's blasphemy in the highest order. You tell everybody on your job you're a Christian. And everybody on your job know you're a fool. You ain't missing no parties. You love the Lord. Oh, how I love Jesus. Sing in the choir. J. Vernon McGee gave an illustration. He went to the bank one day. Seen the lady in the back. Cussing like a sailor. Just cussing out everybody. He said, this is like the lady that was singing Amazing Grace yesterday at the church I visited. True story. Disobedient to parents. Disobedient to parents. How have we ever lived in a generation like this? Cuss their parents to the face. Let's go to Walmart. About 9:30, 10 o'clock. And watch the kids cussing out their parents. Running all over the place like fools. Disobedient to parents. Unthankful. Unthankful.
Yeah.
Buy them a PlayStation game or an Xbox and they just throw all the CDs all over the floor, all under the table, and the remote controls all over the house.
Yeah.
$500 system. Just unthankful.
Amen.
Unholy. I don't want to hear nothing about God. Without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent. Big word. We studied that one. No self-control. Just sexual deviance. You know, we live in a world today. You go to one of these youth prisons where the young people are. You know, 60 to 70% of those young people down there for sexual misconduct, sexual deviancy. Just nasty little kids. Watch your little girls around them. Just, and it starts young. Don't start when you're 50. And we got about 60 sexual predators within 2 miles of this church. Got a list of the names out there in the lobby. That didn't start when they was 35. That stays. Traitors, hitting, high mind, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Amen.
That's a lot. Let me read that text and I'm going to be done. I'm done. I just want to read it so we can see if we can remember some of this stuff. Blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy have begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. That's a lot. Read that over when you get home. Father, thank you. Thank you for keeping us. Thank you for keeping us, Father God. Many of us don't even want to be kept. But you're keeping us. Father, give us the desire for the things of God.